Niels Andreasen, thank you so much for joining Eye on the Arctic today.
Thank you.
First of all, tell us about this Arctic Energy Summit. Tell us a little bit about who's going to be there, what's involved, and what are sort of the main issues that are looking to be discussed at this event.
Sure. This is the third Arctic Energy Summit that we've hosted, and the goal is to bring together subject matter experts, community leaders, officials from government agencies, local, state, national governments, and the private sector to share best practices related to what I think of as a very comprehensive approach to energy in the Arctic.
Talk to us a little bit about some of these other challenges that people face in the Arctic regions in terms of energy. Maybe a lot of people aren't too familiar with what actually living in the North entails and what some of the really specific challenges are that communities and leaders face there.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the headlines were more about northern peoples flipping on the switch and having their lights and their heat come on. I think for a lot of people that's really what Arctic energy means. And the fact is, in a lot of the Arctic, that neither of those things are affordable, accessible, or using the best technology or renewable resources. So I think, you know, from that perspective, Arctic energy is fairly challenging at a very basic level. In communities here in Alaska, people are having to choose between paying for their water and sewer or having their house heated, and they're choosing heat. And so whole communities are struggling to just pay for basic infrastructure. And I think that's the story.
What do we know about which northern communities are doing things right and where we can sort of look to get ideas about how we could be doing things differently or better?
It's a tough question because, you know, for as much as we talk about the Arctic as a single unit, the reality is that there's so much difference within the Arctic. Though I think there is some commonality, at least in the North American Arctic, between Alaska and Canada's Northern Territories, and maybe Greenland and Northern Russia as well, where you have a lot of off-grid communities that are on diesel, and that's where their power is generated. I think there's a lot of examples in that space of incorporating renewable energy, and even here in Alaska, which I guess is probably I'm most able to talk about, you see some communities including biomass. I would say, are leading the world in wind diesel applications. And we've got, I think, great technology to make that efficient and effective. Elsewhere, you see hydro, where a hydro resource is available. In Kodiak, for instance, I think between hydro and wind, they're 99% renewable, and that's a so I think there are a lot of good examples in Alaska, in Canada, around the Arctic, of where we're seeing new technologies being applied, where we're seeing renewable energy investments, but the basic infrastructure is diesel, and as you know, the costs associated with diesel or just supplying energy to off-grid communities in general is so high. Which is funny because you're right that the media story is always about oil and gas development, but often and most often that's sent elsewhere. So that's exported for to generate revenue to a government, and then brought back in in some form to supply communities at a greater cost.
What are the obstacles? You know, what if you were able to look at things and move them along, what area would policymakers or people need to look at first? Where would you start?
Yeah, that's tough. I think that almost all Arctic jurisdictions suffer from lack of economies of scale. So they just don't have as many people and communities and economies as they need, or infrastructure in place as people in the South do. So for oil and gas or non-renewable resources that are developed and produced, they get exported to where there is a market. And often the value-added activity is conducted outside of those jurisdictions. And I think that's just how markets work right now. And unfortunately, they don't work in favor of people who live in the north who just can't support, who don't have a large enough market. I think Norway's a good example where they export like 90, 99% of their oil and gas to European or other markets. But internally, they use hydro and other renewable resources. Even to power their offshore rigs, they actually have to connect to a renewable-generated electricity onshore. So I think that model of exporting non-renewable resources while developing renewable resources internally and domestically is probably right, given current market economics, but challenging at the same time if you don't have the right investments for renewables.
If someone's listening to this, they can't be in Alaska. Are any of the talks or discussions going to be live streamed? Will anybody be live tweeting the event? Any way that people can keep up to date on the conference or follow it from afar?
Yes, they can go to arcticenergysummit.com, and we'll have links to all the plenary sessions and two of the concurrent sessions that will all be live streamed. They can also follow along at, I think it's hashtag Arctic Energy.
Niels Andreasen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.